Justice Spicer passed the time by studying the point spreads on college basketball games. When he couldn't contact Trevor, he placed make-believe bets every game. He was up $3,600 in 2 months on paper. He was on a roll, winning at cards, winning at sports, and he had trouble sleeping at night, dreaming about his next life in Vegas or the Bahamas, doing it as a pro, with or without his wife. Justice Beach frowned with deep judicial deliberation and appeared to be taking exhaustive notes when, in fact, he was drafting another letter to Curtis in Dallas. The brethren had decided to bait him again. Writing as Ricky, Beach explained that a cruel guard at the rehab unit was threatening all sorts of vile physical attacks unless Ricky could produce some protection money. Ricky needed $5,000 to secure his safety from the beast, and could Curtis lend it to him?
"Could we move this along?" Beach said loudly, interrupting ex-lawyer Ratliff once again.
When he was a real judge, Beach had mastered the practice of reading magazines while half-listening to lawyers drone on before juries. A blaring and well-timed admonition from the bench kept everyone sharp. He wrote, "It is such a vicious game they play here. We arrive broken into tiny pieces. Slowly they clean us up, dry us out, put us back together piece by piece. They clear our heads, teach us discipline and confidence, and prepare us for our return to society. They do a good job of this, yet they allow these ignorant thugs who guard the grounds to threaten us, fragile as we still are, and in doing so break down what we've worked so hard to produce. I am so scared of this man. I hide in my room when I'm supposed to be tanning and lifting weights. I cannot sleep. I long for booze and drugs as a means of escape. Please, Curtis, loan me the $5,000 so I can buy this guy off, so I can complete my rehab and leave here in one piece. When we meet, I want to be healthy and in great shape." What would his friends think? The Honorable Hatley Beach, federal judge, writing prose like a faggot, extorting money out of innocent people. He had no friends. He had no rules. The law he once worshipped had placed him where he was, which at the moment was in a prison cafeteria wearing a faded green choir robe from a black church, listening to a bunch of angry convicts argue over urine.
"You've already asked that question 8 times, he barked at Ratliff, who obviously had been watching too many bad lawyer shows on television.
Since the case was Justice Yarber's, he was expected to at least appear as if he were paying attention. He was not, nor was he concerned about his appearances. As usual, he was naked under his robe, and he sat with his legs crossed wide, cleaning his long toenails with a plastic fork.
"You think they'd turn brown if I crapped on them?"
Sherlock yelled at Picasso, and the cafeteria erupted with laughter.
"Language, please," Justice Beach admonished.
"Order in the court," said T.
Carl, the court jester, under his bright gray wig. It was not his role in the courtroom to demand order, but it was something he did well, and the brethren let it slide. He rapped his gavel and said,
"Order, gentlemen."
Beach wrote, "Please help me, Curtis. I have no one else to turn to. I'm breaking again. I fear another collapse. I fear I will never leave this place. Hurry." Spicer put $100 on Indiana over Purdue, Duke over Clemson, Alabama over Vandy, Wisconsin over Illinois. What did he know about Wisconsin basketball? He asked himself. Didn't matter. He was a professional gambler, and a damn good one. If the $90,000 was still behind the tool shed, he'd parlay it into $1 million within a year.
"That's enough," Beach said, holding up his hands.
"I've heard enough, too,"
Yarber said, forgetting his toenails and leaning on the table. The brethren huddled and deliberated as if the outcome might set a serious precedent, or at least have some profound impact on the future of American jurisprudence. They frowned and scratched their heads, and appeared to even argue over the merits of the case. Meanwhile, poor Picasso sat by himself ready to cry, thoroughly exhausted by Ratliff's tactics. Justice Yarber cleared his throat and said, "By a vote of 2-1, we have reached a decision. We are issuing an injunction against all inmates urinating on the damned roses. Anyone caught doing so will be fined $50. No damages will be assessed at this time." With perfect timing, T. Carl slammed his gavel and yelled, "Court's adjourned until further notice. All rise." Of course, no one moved. "I want to appeal," Picasso yelled.
"So do I," said Sherlock.
"Must be a good decision," Yarber said, collecting his robe and standing. "Both sides are unhappy." Beach and Spicer stood too, and the brethren paraded out of the cafeteria. A guard walked into the middle of the litigants and witnesses and said, "Court's over, boys. Get back to work."